read starting in Genesis 7, verse 1. And then we'll pray one more time together, and then we will dive in. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we first praise you for who you are, that you are holy, that you are the Almighty God. We have gathered together to worship the King. And Father, we praise you for what you've done for us in Jesus. You've demonstrated your love for us in sending your Son to die in our place. And on the 3rd day, you raised him from the dead, providing for us that hope of eternal life. Father, as we gather together, we recognize that your people on the Lord's Day are gathering all over the world. So, Father, this morning we pray for a church just down the road in First Baptist Church of Lowry's. Father, as their pastor is sick, I pray for Danny as he brings the word this morning. Would you empower him by your Spirit? Give him the words to say. I pray even now as he prays and prepares that you will calm his nerves. Father, I pray that your word there would fall on good soil this morning, that their fellowship would be sweet, that they would be a bright light for the gospel in Chester County. Lord, we praise you for the relationship that you have worked between our churches. I pray that you would foster that for the good of your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would guide us as a church by your Holy Spirit so that we affirm the deacons that you want us to affirm. Thank you for working through our body, for raising men up. I pray that you would see this work to completion, that we may serve you faithfully, Lord willing, for years to come. Father, now as we look at Genesis chapter 7, we really have no hope to understand and apply it and for it to really affect our hearts and our lives unless you do something. So Lord, would you work by your Spirit in us that we would have soft hearts to receive your word, to believe what you said, to apply it to our lives, to leave here proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to see your glory in the face of your Son as we consider your words. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Winston Churchill was exhausted, hungry, and desperate when he knocked on the door of a stranger's house in the middle of the night. You see, on December 12th, 1899, Churchill had scaled the prison walls in Pretoria, having been captured as a prisoner of war during the First Boer War. So he escaped. But after days of evading capture, he was traveling by night, hiding in ditches. Churchill stumbled upon a mining village about 160 miles from the prison camp. And he was desperate. His only chance to survive escape was to risk knocking on this stranger's door for help, not knowing if he was friend or foe. Well, he knocked on the door, a light came on in an upstairs bedroom, and the window opened, and he heard a man's voice shouting down, "Who's there?" Churchill said he felt the voice in his bones. And he explained he needed help, that he had had an accident. So the man opened the door, and he began to question him. And Churchill made up a story about falling off of a train and falling unconscious, and he needed someone to help him on his way. Well, the man, still suspicious, let him inside and sat him down. And he sat on the other end of the table, and he put a gun on the table between them. The man continued to interrogate Churchill until eventually Churchill realized his lies were spinning out of control. Not knowing whether this man was friend or foe, he said, "I think I had better tell you the truth." To which the man responded, "I think you had." So Churchill told him about the escape. And after a pause, the man responded, "Thank God you have come here. It's the only house for 20 miles where you would not have been handed over. But we are all British here, and we will see you through." That man, John Howard, would hide Churchill for days and then smuggle him out of the country on a supply train. The only hope for Churchill was for someone else to see him through. Beloved, the only hope of escape from the judgment that we deserve is for God to see us through. In Genesis chapter 7, God is going to judge the world for wickedness through a flood. He's going to start over. Yet, he's going to provide a way of escape for Noah. And Noah's only hope of escape is for God to see him through to the end. Friends, the New Testament authors tell us God is going to judge the world again for our sin. For every wicked thought and every evil deed. How will you escape? Christians, in your battle with sin, how will you escape the temptations that you face? Brothers and sisters, our only hope is for God to see us through. God provided Noah a boat as the only way of escape. God has provided for us his son, Jesus Christ. So the author of Hebrews really hits our theme for this morning with one question from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Friends, let's see how this plays out in Noah and then how we can apply it to our lives. Look with me at Genesis 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." Before God sends this flood, he speaks to Noah. And he's already warned Noah in chapter 6 of this flood that's coming. He's given him instructions for building the ark, which Noah obeyed. Now he tells him where to go and what to take. "Go into the ark," he says. "Take pairs of animals. Because in 7 days, God will send rain on the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights to blot out every living thing on the earth." God created the world in 7 days. Now he will destroy the world in 7 days. And Noah's only hope of escape is for God to see him through. So first, God tells him where to go. He must enter the boat of salvation. Now, why does Noah get to go into this boat? What qualifies this man and his household to enter this ark of salvation? Well, God tells Noah in verse 1, "Go into the ark, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Noah is righteous. Now, we saw in chapter 6, friends, Noah is not righteous by his works. He is righteous by his faith. Chapter 6 told us Noah walked with God, which means he believed what the Lord said. And so, as the author of Hebrews says, he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. It was a righteousness given to Noah. God has told him where to go. He must come in faith. But God also tells him what to take. He has to bring with him, he says, clean and unclean animals. Now, I'm willing to bet you are familiar with the story of two of every kind of animal coming into the ark for God to repopulate the earth after the flood. What might be less familiar is that Noah was to bring 7 pairs of clean animals and birds. Now, these are not animals that had a bath before they arrived, right? These are ritually clean animals. So what are they good for? Well, it's sacrifices and offerings. To be accepted before God and to enter into his presence, God's people had to offer clean animals to God. In fact, listen to the instructions that God gave to the Israelites before they were to go into the tabernacle where God's presence was. Leviticus chapter 1. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, that is the tabernacle, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish, that is a clean animal. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, the entrance of the tabernacle, that he may be accepted before the Lord." In the same way, God has called Noah to go into the ark. What is required is faith and a sacrifice. And brothers and sisters, what a picture of God's call for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And just like Noah, our salvation requires faith and a sacrifice. But friends, it's not the sacrifice that we bring. It's the sacrifice that Jesus gave. His cross is the sacrifice required on our behalf. He is the Lamb without spot or blemish, and he died for our sins. One writer puts it like this: while a wooden ark delivered Noah from physical death, a wooden cross delivers us from spiritual death. Just as Noah obeyed God by climbing onto a boat to save a few, Jesus obeyed his Father by climbing onto a cross to save many. That is God's call for us, not to go into a boat, but to come to Christ. And look how Noah responds. Look at verse 5. "And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. Number one, if you're taking notes, respond to God's call of salvation. Respond to God's call of salvation. Noah believed the Lord, and so he heeded his call. God said, I'm going to judge the world for wickedness. Your only hope of escape is this ark. Go into it. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. We must do the same if we are to be saved. God has told us, friends, he's coming to judge. And he has told us the only way to be saved is through his Son. And so he calls us to repent and believe. Do you believe him? Have you heeded his call? Friend, it would be foolish for me to assume that even in a church our size, everyone in here knows the Lord by saving faith. Are you sure you have responded to God's call of salvation through Jesus? That you've turned from sin and trusted in him alone to see you through? And then for believers, for those who have responded to God's call in faith, what does it look like now to heed God's call? Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Believers, I urge you this morning not to lose your urgency in the gospel after you've come to faith in Christ. We are to cling to the gospel every day. We're to grow in the gospel. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to pay much closer attention to what we have heard. After Winston Churchill entered John Howard's home, Howard gave him clear and precise instructions for how to escape by hiding him in a freight train. He was to board the train at exactly 2 a.m. on December 19th. He was to climb into an empty truck loaded with cotton bales. He was to burrow deeply into the center of the bales to hide, and he was to remain absolutely silent and motionless, regardless of stops, searches, or noises. Well, church, how foolish would Churchill be to treat those things nonchalantly? Or to get distracted along the way and want to peek out to see what was passing by? No. His only hope of escape was to pay close attention to Howard's instructions. Friends, God has told us our only way of escape, faith in the Lord Jesus. But we so often get distracted. The normal stress of everyday life, our own suffering, the sins that we wrestle with, the pleasures that the world offers us, worldly ambitions and priorities, all of those things tug at our hearts so that we pay less attention to our walk with the Lord and we start to look to other things for escape. Friends, these are idols in our hearts. We put those things above our only hope of escape. Oh, church, I confess, it scares me sometimes how many hours in a day or sometimes days in a week that I can go with too little thought of the Lord, too little dependence in prayer, too little time in the Word, too few reminders of the gospel. Why do we do that? I have idols in my heart that I'm trusting in. And so what do? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, take heed lest you fall. That is, we have to pay careful attention. We need this gospel. We need the news about our only hope of escape again and again and again and again. We need to grow in it. Grow in our understanding. Grow in our faithfulness. Which means we need other believers to remind us of it, to exhort us. It means we need to practice spiritual discipline so that we're in the Word, so that God speaks to us every day. We need to depend on God in prayer so that we're not depending on other things. The good news is, friends, here is the promise in our own battle when we're tempted to follow other things. Paul says, take heed lest you fall, but then he says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. In the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit in you, you have everything you need to continue in the gospel, to flee from these other things. Pay careful attention to our only way of escape. And then Moses, in verse 11, zooms in on the day when Noah entered the ark and the rains began. Look at verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It's raining just as God said it would. And Moses says, the fountains of the deep burst open, and the windows of the heaven flooded with rain. Friends, when God created the world in 6 days, remember, he separated the waters from the waters, and he made dry land appear. Now, those waters are crashing back down on the world. God is de-creating. He's destroying what he made. The world is returning to what it was before God formed and filled it all. God has come to judge. And that is what wickedness deserves. It's what our wickedness deserves. But just as God is doing exactly what he said he would, Noah did exactly what God said to do. Look at verse 13. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Representatives of creation, two of every animal, all according to their kinds, including Noah and his family, enter the ark, and the rains come down. And all of this sounds a lot like Genesis chapter 1. It's animals according to their kind, beasts according to their kind, birds according to their kinds, and then everything with the breath of life has entered this ark. That is, we have Eden floating in an ark. This is new creation in a box. God is coming to judge, but he has a plan of escape, a plan to start again. And notice what God had to do. Look at verse 16. And the Lord shut him in. Apparently, God told Noah to build a door so big Noah couldn't close it. God had to close it. Why does Moses feel the need to tell us this detail? Friends, it is because it is only by God's grace that they will escape. Noah is not saved because he's worked hard enough. Noah is not saved because he's a master engineer. His only hope of escape is if God sees him through, even shutting him in. Number two, if you're taking notes, rest in God's means of salvation. Rest in God's means of salvation. The animals entered, Noah entered, the door was closed, and the boat will stay afloat only because God, by his grace, will do it. I mean, just imagine Noah standing in the doorway of the ark. The animals are in, his family's in, and it's starting to torrential downpour. Perhaps he sees the waters start to rise. What can Noah do? Nothing. He cannot close the door. He has to sit down and rest and wait in faith for God to close the door and to see him through to the end. The same is true for you and me. Friends, God is going to judge the world. We Christians can rest because God has got us. If you've trusted in Jesus, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus holds the keys, friends. And what he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. Your salvation is sealed by God. And if God has closed the door, he will keep you afloat. Friends, I don't know, and I certainly can't speak to every situation in the room, but perhaps you're dealing with sin in your life, the same sin over and over, and you're fighting, but you find yourself defeated, and perhaps it's caused you to doubt whether or not you are truly saved. Beloved, rest your life on Jesus, and he will keep you afloat. Or perhaps you're here and you are suffering, and it's squeezing the life out of your faith, and you cannot understand why it's happening or how it is working out for good. Rest in Christ. He will keep you afloat. He will provide grace to help in your time of need. And beloved, just as Noah was brought into the ark with his family, you and I have been brought into the church. The church is meant to be a place of safety for the believer, like the ark. Not the building, but the people. We're meant to find assurance of our faith with the body of Christ. Hope in the midst of the world. Perseverance for the journey ahead. So, friends, when you abandon the church, or when church is not a priority for you, you jump into the roaring sea thinking you can swim alone until it's over. But there is no safer place than to be in the body of Christ and to be exhorted and encouraged and loved by your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Rest in him, and rest in him with your church. Noah, his family, and the creatures of the new creation must wait for God to see them through. And then God's judgment comes. Look at verse 17. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. Do you hear the language that Moses is using? The floods continued. They prevailed. They increased. They rose high. It says they increased greatly. They prevailed so mightily that they covered the highest peaks of the world. These waters are raging, and the only escape is this little ark floating on the face of the waters. And then the result. Look at verse 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. God's judgment is swift and severe. Number three, realize the severity of God's judgment. Realize the severity of God's judgment. Peter in the New Testament says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. God's judgment is quick and comprehensive. And when that day comes, those who have not responded to God's call, those who are not resting in God's salvation through Christ, will not escape. Church, the flood story is a picture that should stir up our compassion for those who do not have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus. We believers are on the boat with the lights on. Everyone else is in the waters in darkness. But we have the way of escape. We know the grace of God, and God is still patient. Every breath is an opportunity to repent and believe. Friends, we're not called to drag people on the boat. That's not by faith, but we are called as ambassadors of Christ. So we appeal to others to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus. God calls people through our proclamation of the gospel, and the message is urgent because that day will come like a thief. No one knows the hour or the day. And like Noah, only those found in Christ will escape. Friend, again, if you have not trusted in Jesus, or maybe you say you do, but the evidence of your life proves otherwise, would you hear God's call today? That God is good and He's just. He will come to deal with sin, but right now, every breath, He is patient. And the only hope of escape is if God brings you through. If you listen to His call, if you believe Him, if you trust in Christ's sacrifice on your behalf, if you will do that, God will see to it to seal you in and to keep you afloat until He ushers in a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. as we close in just a second by singing of this salvation, perhaps you would pray to God and you would confess your sins and you would turn to Him for salvation and to change your life, and then you would talk to someone else about it. And Christians, pay close attention to the gospel we have heard. Find safety in Christ, in the church, where the gospel is proclaimed, where our family is with us to walk with us in faith. And finally, proclaim the way of escape to a lost and dying world and cling to the promise God will see us through. If He sealed us in, He will keep us afloat. Let's pray. Father, we need Your Spirit's help to heed Your call. You are coming to deal with sin and evil. We believe You. But You've provided the way of escape through Jesus Christ. And we believe You. Father, help us to cling to Him in faith, trusting You will keep us afloat. Help us to flee from the other things we put our trust in. Help us to proclaim Your gospel to a lost and dying world. And help us to do that with joy, knowing one day Jesus is coming back. Lord, in the meantime, use us for Your glory, for Your gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.